Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good morning, everyone. I am Evangelist Tanita here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And we want to welcome you to the Saturday morning broadcast. Today is June the 24th, 2023, and we will continue with our new series, Trusting His Word. I'll hand the show over to you, Rabbi John.
Yes, Father, right now, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives. Thank you for forgiving us of sin, iniquity, and transgression. Thank you for teaching us how to forgive others of sin and transgression and iniquity that they've committed towards us. We glorify you, Father God. We thank you for just helping us to understand in these last days how to walk in your Torah, how to understand your word, and how to apply the trust of your word in our life. We glorify you and magnify you in this season. We need to begin to teach and begin to instruct and begin to commune with us in the precious name of Yahushua, our Savior, our Lord, and our Bridegroom. Amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Tina wanted to go back and reread Luke chapter 18, verse 8, before we continue on, and begin to take up where we left off and begin to understand how to apply the components of faith, obedience, and love. Because those three work together in doing and being all that the Father is desiring of us, pertaining to his word. So that's Luke chapter 18. We'll do it also in the King James and in the Amplified, chapter 18 and verse 8.
Okay. So Luke chapter 18, verse 8, King James reads, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Fire reads, "I tell you that he will descend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith on the earth?"
Persistent faith. We are in the process right now, even as I'm making this broadcast, having construction workers finishing our front porch. So what you're hearing in the background is them taking their tools and constructing actual gazebo in the porch. When I think about what I'm hearing, I'm realizing that for them, this is a part of their trade. It's something that they do in order to get a finished product. And they're consistent at their trade. But how about us? How about me? Am I consistent at my trade with my Heavenly Father? Part of the daily routine that I do with my wife is we will listen to some of the Old Testament scriptures pertaining to the patriarchs. And as we're listening to it, you know, we, of course, you know, comment on what or how it affects us and how it begins to explain, you know, where we are today. And a part of that is of what we listened to was in the book of Kings pertaining to Solomon, where the Lord had met with him twice and warned him that if he would be obedient, that he would be consistent, that he would be faithful. By doing that, showing love towards his Heavenly Father in the same manner in which David did, that bless him and bless the kingdom. And the same promise that he gave to David would be given to him as far as the kingdom not splitting and it, during his reign and things of that nature. When I think about that, I look at today's world and all of the distractions that are around. In the passage that we listened to today, it said that Solomon had at least 700 wives, and those wives led him astray from his God, from his Yah, because they brought their own gods, and he listened to them, and he built temples for them. And I can't help but to look at all of the temptations that we have here today and say, how different are we than Solomon? How different are we than Solomon as far as being led astray or being tempted to be led astray on a daily basis? God's word is clear, but where is my heart? Where is your heart right now? Is it more concerned about the things that has to be done today? Not that they can't be done or that they shouldn't be done. That's not the point. The point is the world system, has it crept into your heart? Because if it has, then it's going to immediately, it's going to choke out the faith of the word, the belief that God's word is supreme and that he rules and reigns. Now, we know that he rules and reigns, but the question that God has for us today is he ruling and reigning in your heart? Throughout each day, throughout each week, of each month, of each year, is he ruling and reigning in your heart? I watch the construction workers, and there's all kinds of things happening around them. But their focus is accomplishing the task that they have been given. That's their focus. So they keep that focus as a part of what drives them to finish each day, to get to a certain stopping point, so that they can pick that up the very next day and continue until the gazebo is completed, until the project is done. I have to remind myself when the Father is giving me a task for the day they would like to have accomplished, or a task that I need to have accomplished. I have to remind myself to make sure that distractions do not sway me to the right or to the left, because it begins to burn up the time. It begins to burn up all of the time that was allotted for that particular task. Often, the task is not something that I honestly say that I enjoy, but it's a task that needs to be done. So the discipline comes in when I discipline myself to fulfill the task, irregardless of the distractions, and not allowing any of the distractions to cause me to get out of sorts, to get angry, to show forth a subjective mindset or attitude about anyone or anything, if you will, that's trying to burn up my time or trying to cause me to be derailed from the purpose that Yah has for me. Yeshua says in his word that the temptations of this world are designed all the way to the very day . In other words, each day the adversary has designed something to derail you and I from fulfilling the purpose that we have. It's designed that way. He wants to try to derail my faith, your faith. He wants me to not truly show the love of God that the Father has said in his word comes through obedience to his word. He wants me to get sidetracked. So, okay, Rabbi, how do I establish or order my steps in his word? How do I keep myself? One of the ways that the Father has made very clear to me is in the book of Daniel. And most of you know the story pertaining to Nebuchadnezzar going in and taking the youth and some of the wise men and things of that nature, as well as all of the temple artifacts, and taking it back to Babylon. Well, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys made a covenant. They made a vow. They made a pact. They made a pact or a covenant to God and to themselves to hold themselves accountable, to ensure that they don't fall prey to the worldly system, to not eat of their foods, which were against Torah, to not capitulate to the point to where you lose sight of the biblical calendar, you lose sight of the actual names of the months that the Father has given versus what they have, you know, caused to happen. These were something that these Hebrew boys made clear. Now, let's be realistic. Just because individuals, be they youth in this case, or more seasoned elderly individuals, make a vow and make a pact to God, you know, I'm going to serve you, that's just one step of the equation. The moment that that is spoken, and I know others have had this happen to them, because I know for me it happens. The moment that I make that confession of faith is when the adversary comes and tries to tempt me and tries to derail me and tries to sabotage the walk and tries to sabotage the verbiage, the relationship. One of the things that I know that I have to understand and realize is that the Father knows that the moment that we do this, we are prone to fail. We're prone to make mistakes. We're prone to miss the mark, which means I've got to have him with me as I'm making the attempt to walk in this faith vow that I made the covenant with him. Just because I verbalize it it reminds me of my marriage. I did not understand. I had a little clue, but that's about all. It's a small clue as to what love really was. I have very little clue at all of how to love my wife. But I had all of the goosebumps and all of the peace of God and the assurance of God that I was to love her and that she was the one that I would love. But through the 40 plus years now that we've been married, through the ups and the downs, through the extremely hardships and the wonderful manifestation of blessings that we've also received, I learn, and should I say, am still learning what that word love really means. What does it mean? This isn't a Hollywood love where, okay, once things get tough or present themselves as if they're going to get tough, I ask for a divorce and just go do my own thing. That's not what this is about. But I'm learning that even with Yah, even with my Lord, the eternal love, the eternal faith, the eternal obedience is all that he knows. He doesn't understand our definition of temperate love. Because with him, it's all or nothing. And if we are created in his image, if we're created after his likeness, then we need to begin to understand that same truth pertaining to, now, Yeshua saying, is there going to be any faith? He's talking about the kind of faith that Yah has established here on the earth. He's definitely not talking about the temporal type. He's talking about the eternal. The only way that you and I can allow the eternal to be steadfast, us to continue to build a relationship with him, continue to talk to him, continue to worship, continue to read his word, continue to apply the truths of his word in us, continue to associate with those that do the same. It is so important that we find ourselves submitted to and doing and having a relationship. Now, my situation with my wife, and I chuckle because, you know, God had to help me and help her, but I'm sure he helped her with me as well. Because we didn't have a very long courtship. So there wasn't a lot of time for her and I to get to know each other. We weren't best of friends or any of that. So there was a tremendous amount of faith that had to be displayed. There had to be an assurance, not an assurance in the other partner, but assurance in Yah, that this is my partner. So that when times really got tough, her and I both, separately of course, went to the Lord and said, are you sure? You told me to do this. You told me to marry this person. You told me to make a life choice with this person. You told me to put forth my faith, my obedience, and my love towards this person. Is this really what is going on here? And if so, I need your help to help change that person and to change me in areas where I need to be changed. The faith walk is a walk where we change, where we begin to go and manifest into the image of the Son of God. Not just an image like a picture, but in the likeness, the behavior. Matthew chapter 5, verses like 1 to about 10, talks about the Beatitudes, the behavioral attitudes. These behavioral attitudes are attitudes that must begin to be implemented in us. These attitudes are the likeness of our Heavenly Father. It's the likeness of our Lord Yahushua. It's the likeness that he and they expect of us. They expect us to emulate them, to reflect them. They expect that. They expect us to mirror their likeness, their image. So we need to understand that it's not about what we individually are trying to portray towards him, but rather we are to reflect him to himself. The way that I reflect him to myself is I have got to die to self. Because when I begin to express myself, I'm not expressing him. Part of this faith walk is learning how to express him. Yeshua was very clear when he said, not my will, but his will be done. In other words, not the way I would perceive or do certain things or define my relationship, but how he would do and define the relationship. That's part of being humble, part of humility. When you refuse to allow your flesh to manifest in situations where the adversary is definitely pushing those buttons, and you instead act and walk and talk as the Father would expect you to, as he would, and as he does, doing as he does. At first, sometimes it's very difficult, especially when the adversary finds that button of yours and touches it. When he pushes that emergency signal, it becomes extremely difficult at times to not let the sirens go off and just deal with the scenario. But the Father is saying, no, don't deal with that or that scenario the way that you would deal with it. Because not only am I trying to educate and mature and discipline you, I am also in the same aspect trying to educate and discipline others. so that it works uniformly with each person. So it's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's not without you, and it's not without me, but it's about us. Yeshua didn't just die for me. He definitely didn't just die for you. He died for us, so that he could have us. So therefore, as I'm endeavoring to walk this obedient road of love, I need to never take for granted that it's all about me. It's about us. Yeshua asked, will I find faith on the earth? Not will I find faith at your house or my house. Will I find faith all over everyone's house, both Jew and Gentile? It matters not to him. But the faith that brings forth the obedience that can only be manifested through the love is exactly what he's looking for. As I begin to pray, I want you to understand that that is what has been, what is, and what will continue to be under attack. Your faith, obedience, and love is what is going to be under attack. That's why it's so imperative, just like the workers that are working today. It's so imperative that you be diligent. As the scriptures say, be diligent, always abounding. The only way I can always abound is I have got to constantly be thinking about that relationship and how to increase it and how to maintain it and how to fulfill it. Father God, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we know that we failed you. It seems as though we consistently fail you on a regular basis each day. And you continue to forgive us. Through Yeshua, you told your disciples and taught them to forgive 70 times 7 for the same offense. You were trying to instill in them the fact that we need to always walk in a state of repentance. Because even though we make vows of faith to do, act, and be that person that you're expecting us to be, we miss the mark. And sometimes we don't feel like getting up because we feel if we get up, we're going to fail again and find ourselves in the same position. The same position. So, Father, I realize that that's when you, by way of your Spirit, come alongside and really begin to encourage us. Begin to let us know, I see your effort, and I reward your effort over your excellence. He wants us to be excellent, of course. But he rewards our effort so that we can be excellent. We can never be excellent without him. But we have a choice on whether to show forth the effort in spite of the failure, in spite of the insurmountable odds, in spite of the lack of the ability to actually climb the mountain ourselves, the lack of strength, energy. He rewards the effort. So, Father, help us and help me with the effort. The want to. So that in that want to, you will meet me in that fiery furnace of that want to. The Hebrew boys had no idea whether or not you would save them or not. But they put forth the effort to stand in faith regardless. Father, we're going through things, each and every one of us. And we need your spirit to really come alongside and help continue to motivate our effort. Refresh us in those times of great sorrow and allow us to achieve what you're calling for us to achieve, to be all that you called us to be, that we can't be ourselves, but we can show forth the effort. Bless each and every person in the sound of my voice that put forth an effort to be excellent in your word. In the precious name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen and amen. Until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.